Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, no big deal. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it ordered, shipped right to your door. You can have Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that. Oh, that's right. He's not here today. Beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Whether you just want to do some steaks or you want to put the whole effort in and put a brisket out there on the smoker and just go at it for 12, 14 hours, beef is always going to make you a superstar when you're cooking out. And if you're looking for great recipe ideas for weeknight meals or for those big cooks, they've got them at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Still time to get Dad that polo, that T-shirt, that baseball cap that he is wanting. If your dad is my age, he probably doesn't want a rope hat, and Carlo's not here to defend him. So there you go. Check it all out, College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, then you need to talk to the good folks over at Priority One Bank. Bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Bankers are going to treat you with respect. If you live in central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Carlo Barone on the road today. He's traveling back from Athens and the fallout of the Athens Super Regional. So just me today, although Brooks Bryan will join us a little later, get his thoughts on the season, get his grade for the season. I figure we need to get all three of us on the record for what we thought about the first year for Brian O'Connor. But I wanted to talk specifically today about Ace Reese and his legacy at Mississippi State. And what is it? You know, he is the first great player to have multiple great seasons out of the transfer portal for Mississippi State. You think about like R.J. Yeager and Colton Ledbetter. These guys come over there, they had a great year, but then they moved on. You know, they only played the 1 year in Starkville. Unless I'm missing somebody, I can't remember anybody who had came in from the transfer portal and had multiple really good seasons. But that's what Ace Reese did. So I think, you know, when you think of Ace Reese, his production puts him, and we've been talking about this a lot lately, on what kind of tier would he be in. His production puts him near the very top. This is a guy who's been a fantastic hitter for Mississippi State, one of their all-time home run hitters, despite the fact they only played two seasons. A guy who will be another first-round draft choice for Mississippi State, another guy who will play in the majors and will claim Mississippi State and will go on the wall out there. Hit some big home runs, you know, played in the postseason both years, got his team to a super regional, two-time All-SEC. There's a lot on the resume for a guy like Ace Reese and a guy who has played at a really high level and played a difficult position that, you know, I don't think that's his natural position. I don't know that Ace Reese, when we talk about the major league version of him, will be a third baseman. But, you know, defensively he was okay. He was fine. But he did his damage at the plate. And a guy that, you know, I had the opportunity to interview him one-on-one back in the fall and came across as a guy who I don't think confidence is a problem for Ace Reese. I'll put it that way. And, you know, maybe it borders on the edge of cockiness. But, hey, if you're going to be a big-time major league athlete, you got to have a little bit of that. You know, I don't, you know, there's humility. I get that. But I want a guy who believes he's the best. And I think Ace Reese has a lot of self-confidence. And that's why I think he'll be a successful pro. He's just a good hitter. But where do we rank him all time at Mississippi State? You know, he's not in that top tier that we've been talking about. He's not in that. What is the top tier for you guys, too? I feel like pitchers get left out of it so much. Like, does Jeff Brantley belong in that top tier? Does Landon Sims belong there? I don't know. Let's just talk about it in terms of hitters, because I feel like we try to put pitchers in, it's going to be too much debate. But for me, the top four, the Mount Rushmore, are Palmeiro, Clark, Mangum, Allen. And then, like, if there's a 1B tier, like, the next guy would be Brent Rooker. But even Rooker, who he had a unbelievable, he won the Triple Crown, but, you know, the year before that, he was a good hitter. In 2016, he had a good season. Is that where I'm going to put? I think that's where I want to put Ace Reese. I think Ace Reese is in the Brent. So what do we call that tier? Like the Brent Rooker, the Rooker Reese tier? Something like that? Like that's like you're just not on the Mount Rushmore, but man, we've got statues. You know, is Ace Reese going to be a Ring of Honor guy? I don't think there's any doubt about that. Is Ace Reese going to be, you know, forever remembered as one of the greatest hitters in Mississippi State history? I think absolutely so. I think we'll put him and Rooker in the same tier. Of they didn't have the full 4 year, or in Clark and Palmeiro's case, 3 years of dominance. You know, Mangum multiple 2-time College World Series, and that's something that honestly it counts against them, right? This is Mississippi State baseball. You expect to at least make a trip to Omaha. Rooker never did. 2016 team absolutely should have made it, but ran into the wrong team at the wrong time. You could make the same case for Ace Reese this year. That team was good enough to play in Omaha. That good team was good enough to win games in Omaha. But they ran into the wrong team at the wrong time, and so they're left out. So there's a lot of similarities there between Ace Reese and Brent Rooker. And, you know, I got no problem putting him in. I mean, that's the second tier, right? We're talking about, think about all the great players Mississippi State has had. All the All-Americans and all SEC players and major leaguers that the Bulldogs have had. And I'm telling you that Reese goes right there. I mean, who else would I put into that tier? I'm trying to think my way back through the past. Oh, goodness gracious. Is that where like an Adam Pyatt would go? A Richard Lee? Lee played had a full career though. Pyatt played 3 years. It's almost like it's different just because they were just like a comet going through the sky. It was quick with Rooker and with Reese. He didn't have the same kind of longevity with them. And honestly, Reese's two seasons are better than, you know, the seasons of the guys that we're talking about here. He had an unbelievable year these past 2 years. The unbelievable career at Mississippi State. So Reese is the guy, you know, when we talk about trying to replace for next season, that's going to be incredibly difficult for Mississippi State to do. He has been so good these past couple of years. And, man, you know, that's one I'm sad to see go. And if I, you know, I think that he can be a great pro. So I think I don't think we're done seeing Ace Reese play baseball on your television anytime soon. So, shout out to Ace Reese, a great Bulldog, a great player, and you know, I'll tell you what, he went down swinging. He absolutely went down swinging, hitting home runs, hitting doubles. Had a great weekend out there in Athens. He did everything he could to drag his team to victory, and they just came up a little bit short. So let's go to the let's talk with Brooks. Brooks Bryan joined me earlier today. I talked with him for a little while about this team, this season, his grade for it, and what he thinks the future looks like under Brian O'Connor. Brooks Bryan joins us as he has all season long, and now at the end of the season, Brooks, what are those first few moments like at the end for a player? We saw some of the emotion. Carlo got some great footage from the dugout. What are those last couple minutes in the dugout like?
Yeah, it just hits you all of a sudden. You're not thinking about the end until it actually happens. And I kind of think back to the the junior year, it was one feeling, and then, but knowing that I was coming back for another year, and then your last year, it for sure hits you. So, I know what probably Ace Reese, since this will be his last year, and then Bryce Chance, I know what all those guys are feeling right now for sure. It's kind of a surreal moment where it just hits you all at once because you're not thinking about the end until it actually happens.
Yeah, it's almost like a headshot. You're like, you just walk in and all of a sudden, boom, it's over
That's
kind of
right.
thing. Speaking of surreal moments, there were a lot of those in this super regional. I think we saw two of the best teams in the country playing each other. I think Georgia has got to be the odds-on favorite to win the national championship the way that they're playing. I echo the sentiments that it's a shame that this was a super regional and not a College World Series game. My guess is the same thing I'm going to say is it's a shame that Texas and Georgia play each other in the first round instead of playing each other in the finals, but that's just the way that the seeding works. From a neutral observer, do you recall? I mean, you've watched college baseball. This is maybe the best super regional, two games super regional ever that we just watched.
Yeah, it was back and forth both games. You would have good pitching for a couple innings, and then it would just be, two or three innings of just offense, and then get an inning or two of good pitching, and then offense. And it was, like you said, just back and forth. I know I texted you before the second game, and I just felt like the way we lost that first game, that it would be tough for the team to come back mentally and emotionally. And if we got down early, that it could, it may get ugly. And we got down 7-2. And man, I give so much credit to the players and so
I
much
brought
credit
this
to the
up on the
coaching staff.
post-game show that you and I had this conversation. I think you said 9-3, and when it was 7-2, I was like, I'll be damned, he was right.
Man, to be able to come back after the night before or the day before, the morning before, and then get behind like that. In the first three or four innings, and then battle back and take the lead, man. It just a tip of the hat to the coaching staff and the players to be able to do that.
I think you and I would agree that if I had told you we were going to stake Tomas Valančiūnas to a 7-0 lead, that not only was State going to win, that they were going to cruise to victory. It's probably how I would have told you it was going to go. It just didn't go that way. What did you see watching that game that happened to Tomas between the fourth and fifth inning? Because he goes from, State gets the lead and he has back-to-back shutdown innings and you feel really good about where you are, and then it just unraveled on him all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I was starting to think, headed into that fourth inning, we may could get a good 7 or 8 innings out of him because his pitch count was really low. And this is one thing I did want to make sure we talked about was always, in a football game and in a baseball game, there's a game within the game. And there's two big moments in my mind that some people may not recall or think about in that first game that I thought really magnified how that game went. And before I get to that, Tomas was doing really well. Fourth inning gives up solo bomb, solo bomb. So it's 7-2, first two batters of the fourth. And I know we had talked about last week, solo home runs were not going to get you beat. And just don't walk two and then give up one swing and it's a 3-run home run. So Tomas, you get a 7-0 lead. You give up two solos. Okay, that's fine. Here's one of the big plays of the game in my mind. I'm almost certain the next batter after those two solos, the guy hit a hard, I think it was 107 miles per hour off the bat, one hopper to Woodson backhand that he slid, caught backhanded, but then rushed his throw and pulled Stallman off the bag by about 10 feet. Where, I think maybe next year Woodson knows, hey, I've got plenty of time. It's AstroTurf Field. It's a one hopper. It's 107 off the bat. It's scorched to me. I've got time to plant and make a good throw. He didn't pull Stallman off the bag. That could have changed momentum right there. It could have been 7-2, one out instead of 7-2, no outs with a runner at first. You change momentum there, but instead it kind of adds the momentum. They score another 3 runs that inning. Then also another play, I think was the next inning. A runner gets to first with two outs. And I forgot what the score is at this time. It may still be 7-5. It may be 7-6. I can't remember, but there's a line drive hit to Ace. that he kind of leans over to his glove side about knee high, and it goes off his glove, rolls about 10 feet away. That would have been the third out of the inning. Instead, runners are at first and second. I texted a group of buddies. I said, that one's going to hurt. Two or three pitches later, the guy hits a double down the left field line, scores both runs. Those are two plays that are not errors, but they're plays that Georgia's third baseman the first game made. O'Shaughnessy made two really good plays. Ole Miss made two really good plays in the eighth and ninth inning to win game two at Auburn. It's plays that, especially when momentum's going against you, you've got to make those type of plays, and you've got to want the ball to come to you to make those type of plays to switch momentum. And we didn't make those, and it cost us somewhere between 3 to 5 runs, those two plays. They weren't errors at all, but they would have been really good plays that at this time, and when you're playing teams like Georgia was playing us and we're playing Georgia, that you've got to make those, at least one of those plays. So I feel like those two plays, especially when Georgia's hitting the ball that well, that you've got to come up with one or two of those plays. And we, unfortunately, we were not able to, and it cost us. So those two things, I think, hurt. You go back to Tomas and ask me about Tomas. If either one of those two plays are made, I think we win that first game because that changes the momentum in a big way.
Speaking of a momentum change, I want to go back a little earlier in that game, even where State's putting up the sixth spot in the second inning. They're hitting everything Volchko is throwing at them. They're hitting the ball really hard. And they make the decision to run Jacob Parker, and he gets caught up in the pickle, and they don't get the run home, and that ends the inning. And I went philosophical on the post-game show. I brought up Sun Tzu, The Art of War. When your enemy is making mistakes, don't interrupt him. And I thought that was a. I just didn't agree with that decision. It's happened a couple of times in the last month of the season where State's had some offense and then they send Parker, who before I think the Texas A&M series had not gotten caught stealing, and then he's been caught I think three times in the last month, and it's always been in a situation like that. Did you like that decision there to run, or do you just want to keep batting and let the runs come in?
Yeah, so I'm still wondering, and it may have been explained in post game, I'm not sure.
I haven't seen it yet.
Was there a did somebody miss a sign? Did Parker miss a sign and was not supposed to steal? Or was it a steal and stop because that's what happened? But the guy from third, who is Noah Sullivan, didn't go. And I don't understand why you would steal and stop with Noah Sullivan at third. So I'm curious to know if he has the green light and he decides when he wants to go, or if the coaching staff called a straight steal, or if the coaching staff called a steal and stop and Noah didn't get it. Because if it's a steal and stop, then Noah's got to go on the throw to second, and he never went. So I'm just curious to know what the call was. But if the call was steal and stop, I don't like that call, especially with Noah being the runner at third.
And especially, you've got, Valinkas up there, a guy who's made a lot of solid contact, a guy who's not striking out a lot. You feel like he's going to put the ball in play. They're shaky. It kind of reminded me of the Texas game in that you rock their starter early, but you don't chase him. And instead, he's able to settle in, and he gave him three more innings. I think if you could get him out there in the second inning, again, that's just something that plays into the game. Game two, as you mentioned, you and I talked before that, and you were of the opinion that it might be a bad one for Mississippi State. You just thought emotionally they might be a little drained. And early on, that's exactly how it looked, but they kept playing. I give O'Connor a lot of credit for there are a lot of coaches who would not have just pulled the ripcord there and said, "We have to survive this, get Duke into the game." A lot of coaches would have probably said, "Let's get a bullpen arm, let's just try to figure it out." And he realized he didn't have any choice in the matter. He would deal with Monday if he got to Monday. I thought that was a smart move. And then you hit back-to-back-to-back home runs, and all of a sudden you're off and running. And gosh dog, did I want that last one, the two-run bomb from Parker to be one of those things we talk about, like your catch and some of the stuff, Tanner Allen's home run, just one of those Mississippi State great postseason moments. It ends up, it won't be in that same tier. But mentally, I think this team this year took some games where people thought they're not mentally tough. They lost some games where people questioned that. I don't think we can question that after seeing what happened. Maybe, from a bullpen perspective, they didn't have as much mental toughness as you would need to get those outs. But the batting order, those guys 1 through 9 were all dogs.
Yeah, and I agree with that. We talked about it last week that that the last 3 weeks of the season, the lineup was hitting the best it had all year. And that's what, excuse me, that's what you want when postseason starts, is your lineup being the best that it's been all year. And that's where we were. And I mean, we scored 21 runs in two games. You expect to win both, but especially one. And we just couldn't get over that hump. We came back enough in both games and have the lead going in the bottom of the eighth in the first game, a 2-run lead, and then a 1-run lead in the top of the ninth yesterday, and just weren't able to hold on to it. And going in about a month ago, my thoughts were, looking at the portal and what we would need to go get for next year, my thoughts were, probably just a couple of arms. But now, in the past month, I've changed my thoughts to, I think we really need to go out and get four or five arms for relief guys, because we've just got to find some guys that can get guys out.
And that's, I talked about that a little bit yesterday. I think that the coaching staff needs to look at it more from a perspective of not, hey, this guy throws 96, this guy has this spin rate, or it's got to be like, this guy knows how to get outs. This guy's a vet. I would rather see veterans, guys who have been, done it at whatever level, and they have a track record of being guys who can pitch, rather than, well, this guy has great measurables, and we think we can turn him into a great pitcher. I want guys who have shown they can be a good pitcher. I feel like you've got the measurable guys already, right? You've got Valinkis, and you've got McPherson, and you've got Bauer. Maddux Miller is going to be a good one. I think Jack Gleason is going to be a really good one for Mississippi State. You've got some guys like that. They need to go get proven commodities in this next portal class.
Yeah, and you look at Aoki that Georgia started yesterday. He does not
Somebody
have the
like that,
measurables.
exactly.
Yeah. I
Yes.
mean, he's short. He throws, 90, 91, but he commands the ball. He commands the strike zone. He commands the corners. And he's got four or five pitches that he can throw for strikes. And he doesn't overpower you, but he makes it more difficult for you to get a clean barrel on the ball. Even though we got to him a little bit later when he was throwing, and I think they let him go about 120 pitches, I
He went
believe.
deep, yeah.
Yeah. But he's somebody that they felt like can control the strike zone, and he did it. And we've got to find a couple of guys that can do that, and be able to pitch, like you said, and it's proven that they can get outs.
When we think about this team, I think the two names we're going to come back to the most are Ace Reese and Jacob Parker. Let's start with Reese. Where does he rank for you among the great power hitters in Mississippi State?
I mean, he ranks right up there. I'm gonna say a top five guy. And you could see towards the middle to end of the year, he started hitting the ball really hard, gap to gap, rather than just pull the first part of the year. I think he struggled some because he was just very pull happy. But the more the season went on, the more he hit home runs to left center, home runs to dead center, home runs to right center, something that he didn't do at the first part of the season. And to me, that just shows me his maturity to really focus in on what the other team and the other pitcher is trying to do to him. I think he's a top 20 pick. Where he'll play, in the bigs as far as a position wise, I'm not sure, but I think he will prove that he can swing the bat. So they'll find him somewhere.
And then the next guy, of course, is Jacob Parker. And the comment I made on yesterday's podcast was this. I talked about him last week, and I said, this is a guy I think could be in the tier with Clark and Palmeiro and Mangum, and that's your top group, right? And after watching what he did over the last 2 weekends, I think he may just get his own tier when this is done. This is a guy that the potential is there for him to be the best baseball player that this university has ever had. And that is a massive statement, but my goodness, I couldn't believe some of the stuff he was doing, and under the circumstances. I mean, this is the postseason. He got better. Freshmen don't usually get better as the year gets deeper. Usually, when they hit conference play, the batting average tumbles a little bit, and then they reach that freshman wall where I've never played, 45, 50 games in a season. He just kept getting better each and every week. I can't wait to see. I'm already thinking ahead to next season, and like, this is a guy who may push for 30 home runs next year.
Yeah, he's definitely a unicorn as far as coming in as a freshman. And I've kind of said this at least the last month or so, where his pitch recognition is so good that he doesn't swing at many bad pitches. He recognizes what pitch it is right out of the pitcher's hands to where he doesn't swing at many bad pitches. He may get out, he may swing and miss, but most of the time he's right on it. His power early on in his career reminds me of, I've brought this up several times, is with Foscue and Westberg, but he doesn't swing and miss nearly as much as Westberg did early in his career. And just a great kid. I heard the post game what he said, and man, that's going to be the leader of the team moving forward. That's going to be the face of the program. He's going to be a Jake Mangum. He's going to be a Hubbard, a Dak, Tanner Allen. He's going to be that type, and I hope he has that personality to be the dog and to be the leader and to be somebody in the clubhouse that can be that vocal leader. Because I think this year we may have not had the vocal leader. I don't know. We may have had some vocal leaders in the locker room, but I hope next year that he can become that guy, since a lot of guys are going to be moving on, and he can take that role and run with it.
So I got Carlo's grade yesterday and I gave mine. How would you grade Brian O'Connor's first season at Mississippi State?
I'm gonna put it as a B plus. I think to be an A, you win a couple of games against Tennessee or Georgia in the season, and you're a top eight seed. And then, to kind of that would be like an A minus, and then an A would be getting to Omaha, and then obviously an A plus would be playing for the Natty or winning the Natty. So I think, man, a B plus, and I think he did a great job of this team improved. If you look from the beginning of the SEC season to now, I think you saw the hitting approach that he and the assistant coach brought with them, because I just think we struck out a whole lot less as the season went on. And I think that'll just keep getting better and better. I think you'll see in the portal that we're going to go out and get some guys that they can put around Jacob Parker to make sure that he's protected. I would say you would see Jacob Parker move up to either third or second in the lineup, because I think,
I think he takes Ace Reese's spot. Just
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
he'll be
I
the
think a
second.
lot of teams have started putting their best hitters number two
Ole
in the
Miss
lineup.
does it. That's where Unimark is.
Yeah, Ole Miss does it. Georgia does it, I believe,
With Jackson,
with their catcher Jackson.
Jackson, yeah.
I would definitely put him second or third, make sure that he gets as many at bats as possible. But yeah, I would say a B plus and 43, 44 wins. He did not lose one game that basically he should have won non-conference.
Right.
A couple of conference games that he lost, is still kind of inexplicable, the Tennessee sweep. But other than that, I thought he did real well.
Yeah, I think the future, you shouldn't come away from this season with anything but the idea that the future is very bright at Mississippi State. You know that the resources are in place to put together another elite transfer portal class. You're going to bring back an elite pitching staff. You're going to bring back a guy who maybe the SEC's best hitter next season. There's just a lot going in Mississippi State's favor for right now. You ready to switch to football? You ready to start talking about it?
I am, man. I am.
We're going to have to get some more football talk with Brooks. We're going to find out that Brooks is a well-rounded individual over these next few months. He's not just all baseball. So we'll have him on, talk some football with us as we get closer. Now it's time to start talking about it. You can be part of I'm going to be teaching a class with Carlo. We got to get him up to speed on some Mississippi State history. So we'll bring you in for those as well. Brooks, appreciate you, man. Thanks for your help all season, and we'll look forward to talking again.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks to Brooks. Good stuff there. And looking forward to talking football with him. We're time to start. I wouldn't say the leaves are turning, but you know what's about to happen here on Thunder and Lightning. We are 1 week away from our first opponent preview of the season. We'll be talking about the Egg Bowl next week. And of course, when Carlo gets back, we'll do another SEC preview. We'll be four teams into that. I mean, football is it's not here, but it's time to start getting ourselves ready. For that one, let's move into the last little bit of the show here. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food your heart desires. If you're going to be in Starkville around lunchtime, I can't give you any easier suggestion than to go see my friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Today, as you're listening, would be Taco Tuesday, which means You get tacos for the cheap, and they are delicious. I'm a chicken chipotle guy, but I like the spicy pork one as well. Everybody tells me the fried shrimp one is really, really good. It's just got some. I'm not a big condiment guy, as people may have learned as listening to my podcast throughout the years. So, but everybody loves it. So, give it a try. Pork belly taco. That's a Robbie Falk favorite. Of course, Robbie, who's no longer with us, but he loves the pork belly. He loved the pork belly taco. Miss that guy. Sad he's no longer with us. Anyway, if you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, I'll give you a suggestion. Go eat at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And if you need service, same people, same phone number. You know them. They know you because you're in Mississippi. They're in Mississippi. You can fix your problems a lot of times the exact same day. Make it easy on yourself, all right? You don't want to have to deal with call centers and being on hold for 45 minutes any more than the next guy. Talk to our friends at Advantage Business Systems. They'll get you taken care of. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go if you're looking for great Mississippi State gear. They have it at Maroon & Co. They've got everything maroon and white at Maroon & Co. Nobody has a bigger or better selection than my friends over at Maroon & Co. Whatever you're looking for dad this Father's Day, they've got it ready for you. And, if dad needs a new cooler, they've got the great selection of Yeti coolers. If he needs those new TurtleBox speakers, wants to, dad wants to jam to some classic rock while he's cooking out. He wants to hear a little Led Zepp, a little, Bad Company. Make it happen for him. Or if dad's my age and he wants to hear a little Pearl Jam, a little Alice in Chains, it's right there on the speaker. So go buy dad one of those. They've got them at Maroon & Co. And they've got our promo code Thunder15. Takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, next time you're in Starkville, make sure you're heading to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Which one of you stole the guy's mowers? Somebody stole somebody's zero turns. Go take them back. Look, the deals are practically a steal, but you can't just take them off the lot. Guys, what are we doing here? When they get back, and they will find them, you make sure you're headed to Scruggs. If you're looking to buy a John Deere zero-turn mower, they've got them at Scruggs. Great deals, great financing available. Just go see my friends over there in the credit department. They'll get you taken care of. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, they can make it happen for you at Scruggs and make it easier for you and make it a more enjoyable experience, whatever it is. It's not just a slogan. It really is a way of life. They have what you want for less at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo. Out of breath here for some reason. What's going on? It's a hot day on the walk today. It was hot outside. Like, it kept, the weather said, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. So I waited till like 10 to go for a walk, and that was a terrible error. Got to go earlier. Got to go earlier. Scruggs Farm Lot. No, not Scruggs. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is a name to know, a name to trust. People you can believe in, people who are here to help you manage your land, keep it where you want it, keep your resources coming in, going out, sustainable yet profitable. Good Hope Land and Timber, that's what they're all about. And if you're trying to become a landowner, if you want to buy land, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, they can make that happen for you too at Good Hope Land and Timber. Give them a call today at 601-442-9888, or you can visit their website, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. We're going to do something here on the podcast that I very, very rarely do. If you're a longtime listener, you know that the business of college sports is not exactly my favorite thing in the whole wide world. The lawsuits, all of that stuff, I try to stay away much as I can. I love the games. I love the tradition, the history, the pageantry of college football. But it's kind of like sausage, right? I don't really care to know how it's made. I just want to throw it on the grill. But this Brendan Sorsby thing, I wanted to talk about this for just a minute. I know it's a little off topic, but I can't. Okay. There's two sides to this. There's two sides. I could absolutely believe that a judge, they found a friendly judge to get this injunction, right? Like, where have we seen that before? Ah, Trinidad, I'm so happy you're going to be eligible. I can't believe the man was up there crying, and he referred to him as Trinidad. I won't point that out another time. So yeah, I'm at the point now where, like, whatever you want to do, just do it, and then find a judge. Like, there are Mississippi State judges in this state. There's judges who went to Mississippi State. They're Bulldogs. Do whatever you want. And if you get caught, well, this is the court we're going to try this case in. There's no point in trying to follow the rules anymore. There are no rules. The rules have been thrown out. But the one rule I thought that was going to stick, the one rule I thought would be for sure nobody could argue with, was you can't gamble on your own team. Apparently not. Apparently you can. I think this is a bad one, and this is probably going to be the one that gets things moving in the – I think this might be the one that gets things moving in the right direction. Now, when I say moving in the right direction, if you're a person who's like, that means we're going back to no transfers and no NIL, that's like saying we're going back to the horse and buggy. We're going to leave cars behind. That's never going to happen, right? Now, but, you know, can it be a little more tame? I think we can get there, and I think this is because I think this is the one thing where Texas Tech is standing on the island by themselves, right? Everyone else, you know, they want their NIL deals to go through. They don't want to have to deal with that. They want to have transfers. They want to have coaches, freedom, all that. Everybody wants those things. Nobody wants this except for Texas Tech. So they're on the island, and I'm hopeful that this will work out. We can get back to, you know, college football having just a touch more sanity. The insanity of college football is one of the things that attracts me to it. I love that people are crazy about college football and will do anything to win. God bless you. But this is a bridge too far. And I think what's funny is this is one of the clear ones where even the people involved are like, look, this sucks, but we want to win. You know, you just got to have a degree of scumminess to be involved in college athletics today. You just got to have a little bit of, you know, I don't care. A little sleaze factor. It's just, this is the nature of the business right now. So very disappointing to see that ruling, but at the same time, there's no surprise to it. And I'm telling you right now, and I agree with what Bart Gregory said it tongue in cheek. I won't say it tongue in cheek. I'll tell you straight up. If I'm Mississippi State, I'm going to see if I can get Bryce Chance and Garrett Fry another year. And just let them stay in college. You know, these are guys who probably aren't going to play major league ball. Give them a good deal. Tell them they can make a great living staying here. Play till they're 27, 28. Who cares? Oh, you don't like that? Well, we're going to try that one in the Oktibbeha County Court and see who wins. Why not? Why not at this point? All right. Tomorrow's show is The Rumblings. Get your questions in. Carlo and I will answer them. He'll be back tomorrow. And then, as I said, later this week, we got to get a SEC preview done. And we will start our Mississippi State history class with Carlo. We're going to get him up to speed. He's going to know all he needs to know about Mississippi State sports when it's all done as we put together this all-time football team. Talk to you guys again tomorrow. For Carlo Barone, who isn't here, and I'm Brian Haydad, and Brooks Bryan. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.